Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Cornerstone Church online and Cornerstone Church family in-house. It's lovely to see you and be with you all. Thank you for coming out on this cold, cold day. If you are not warm enough in-house, maybe you lift up your hands and Mr. Chris will go and turn up the furnace a little bit. I see one hand. I can't really see Chris. Are there more hands? Because I'm a little cold. My nose is even cold. I have one announcement before I get to share the word of God, and that is to all couples. If you haven't planned a date night for February 14th, there is a really wonderful opportunity presenting at Hillside Church in Airdrie. They're going to host a fun date night plus a marriage strengthening moment with, let me read, the hosts are Ron and Ann Mains, by show regulars Dan and Danielle McCaulkey, and it's a marriage seminar encounter. It's going to be a lot of fun. Prizes, fun, and you have to go online on our website and just register. Easy peasy. So if you want to have an amazing date night on Valentine's Day and you haven't already planned it, go there and do that. I'm sure it'll be fun and very enriching for your marriages. I think those are all the announcements for today, except to say I'm going to be sitting because my foot is still not quite strong enough to let me stand for half an hour. And if I take a tumble, I think you will all, that'll be bad. Because who's going to come and get me up? So, you know, last week, Chris and I were teaching. We were with the children and the youth. But I know that, and we had an amazing time with the kids and encountering the Lord in our classrooms. But I know you did here as well. You spent the time worshiping and intentional prayer moments. And I know the Lord was with you. And I really trust and believe that he answered prayer. And when he did, if he did, I would encourage you this week, if you haven't done so already, to reach out to one another and just share the good report, the good news of the Lord. And today also ends our time of corporate prayer and fasting. And Chris and I brought just a few little snacks at the end of the service. So if you just go to that table, you can enjoy a cookie or two, depending on how many there are. You know, we all realize that we didn't fast to somehow twist God's arm to answer our prayer. We fast in prayer to draw close to him and just to show him that nothing is more important than spending time in his presence. But I know that God met us and answered prayer. And again, if the Lord has answered prayer for you and done a miraculous thing in your life, would you please share with one another? That really strengthens us and encourages us. But what about for those of us who are still contending? We still haven't quite seen the answer to prayer. We're trusting, we're believing, but maybe our time, we're getting a little tired and a little weary. From the very beginning of our time in fasting and prayer, there were devotions sent from our national pastors and international pastors. And the first day, one of our national pastors talked about the importance of togetherness. So that's what I'm going to be talking about and digging really a little bit into that word. Does anyone know what our motto is? If you do, shout it out with me. It's following Jesus together. That's right. That's our heart's cry at Cornerstone. And I want us to dig into a little bit about what that means. Sometimes we say these slogans and we think, okay, we're saying these and we know what we're saying, but what are we really saying? And my first point is about this, that is, it is God's call to us to stand united in the fight. And let's read a portion of Joshua 1, verses 10 to 18, and you would have that in your notes. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess.' And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, 'Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And then they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land in your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rises.'" You know, like the children of Israel, there are many in our churches, circles of friends and families, who have not entered their time of rest yet. They are fighting battles, some with impossible odds, and much like the children of Israel as they began to enter the promised land. Their enemy inhabitants were powerful. The temptations were so strong sometimes, and the battle long. Haven't you sometimes felt that your personal battle has been long? The tribes of Israel relied on God for strength to fight and endure, and obedience to the word of God. No tribe was left alone to fight their battle. They linked arms and pushed back the enemy until they all could enter the season of rest. And that's a really inspiring story. But how do we do this here? How do we link arms? How do we not leave each other behind? And I saw a couple of wonderful reminders of that this morning. Before the worship team, before the 10 o'clock start, I saw them in a little happy, energetic, holy huddle praying. And they were so tight together. Nobody could have gotten in there unless you tapped on their shoulder to say, "Hey, let me in. I want part of this." But they were entering into this time of worship so together, united. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. And when I think about one of the most things that struck me about this so much was not only were they asked to engage the enemy together, but involved a really big trust on the Lord's part. While they were doing that, they were to leave their families and their children. Now, God does not call us to abandon our families, but it just showed the measure of trust they had in the Lord, that the victory God gave them was a victory that would remain. No one was going to come and snatch that victory away, but they were then to go and help their brothers and sisters get that same victory. So it's a matter of trusting the Lord and in his promises. How do we do this? Well, we entered into it this morning. We worship. We sing. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And as I was sitting there before the service started, Chris and I were there, and there was no one behind us. But during worship, all of a sudden, I could hear extra voices worshiping, and I thought, wow, We are surrounded. We are fighting this battle together. And we have to remember that the weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world. In contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, and you can find that scripture in 2 Corinthians 10. So, do we tweet? The last couple of days, I've been greatly disturbed by a Facebook post, and you know, I wanted so much to engage in that post. I wanted to throw scripture at the post. I wanted to vent, but the Lord was saying, don't do that. Don't do that. This has to be done in the spirit, not by might, not by power, not by any perfect words I could craft, but by the spirit of the Lord. So I know my answer is to pray into that situation. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to do that alone. One of the most precious times we women have at Cornerstone is Mom's Prayer. It's moms and grandmas, and we unite together, lifting up our prayer requests to the Lord. And we know that we are not doing this alone. And it is, we've had answers to prayer, and we are persevering for one another. We're not getting tired. And if we are, we can just reach out and say to someone, I'm getting a little tired about this. Could you pray with me? And we have done that. So it's God's calling for us not to leave anyone behind. But how do we do that? Do we do that in our own strength? Nope. Let's read Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together to keep warm, how can one keep warm? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Our togetherness is our unity in Christ. It's that triple braided cord. And, you know, sadly, because we're human and we're not perfect and we're not Jesus, we will fail each other. Sometimes the cord that is me might frail and fail you. Sometimes the cord of you and I in our friendship will frail, but the cord that is Jesus will not fail because he is such a strong cord. He overcame hell and death and disease and sin. And when we cling to him, he will bind our cords together again and heal the broken me, the broken you. And that's why that three braided cord cannot be broken. And that's what Jesus prayed for. We can read it in John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You know, as the Holy Spirit moves our hearts, we begin to think, feel, hope, and work with unity of purpose and direction. When Christ is the source of our friendship, negative courses cannot pull us apart. We will fail or disappoint each other, but the strongest cord, which is Christ, is our grace buffer. Christ Jesus is unbreakable, the triple braided cord. It cannot be severed. He's our strength. He binds us together. In Matthew, we read this amazing verse. Again, I say to you that if two or three of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For whatever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The purpose of our gathering is the name of Jesus. When we pray in his name, the Holy Spirit unfolds revelation and gives us purpose. that flows out of his presence with us. So then we don't pray for selfish reasons because our hearts are so softened towards him and he reveals to us what he wants us to pray for. Time and time, even in our life together meetings, when we've prayed corporately together, the Lord will give someone a word to strengthen, to exhort for one another when we have led our needs to each other. But we have to do a part. And sometimes this is the hard part. Our part is to allow the work to be done in us. Now, I had to see the podiatrist this week because he gave me orthotics, which I'm not wearing today, don't tell him, because they hurt a little bit. He took them and ground them down because he said, you're right, it's not fitting properly on the foot you had your surgery in, but I can't make it that easy for you. Your foot will have to do the other part. And I said, even if it hurts a little bit, yep, your foot has to grind down the rest of this orthotic to make it fit properly. I didn't like that. I don't like to have something scratching me that it hurts. But it's good for me, because if I want to get well and if I want to use my foot properly, that's what has to happen. In Ephesians we read, from the whole body joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, with each part working properly, makes the body grow so that builds itself up in love. The Holy Spirit does the work for fitting us together, and sometimes he gently will reveal things to us that we need to change in order that we can fit together. But the part that we sometimes don't like so much is that he uses other people sometimes to fit us into place. So we have to allow for that when the other people do it in love, of course. King David prayed, and I so want this to be my heart's prayer, our prayer, in Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's giving the Holy Spirit access to our hearts. And I know he so gently molds us. And then allowing other people the binding together. If the Lord is asking you to work with someone and it might not be quite your style, the Lord has a purpose for that, because he needs all of us to work together and to fit together properly. There can't be any unity without each other unless and until we walk with God. And this is one of the last scriptures I want us to dig into, because it goes deeper into following Jesus together. In Amos 3:3, we read, do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? The word here, walk together, means to walk as a unit, one. Two people walking in the same rhythm, the same destination of pace. Now, I watched the worship team this morning, and they were so, so excited to be in the same rhythm, the same pace. They worked so hard, and not the drums going faster. Ramon, you did such a great job setting the pace for everyone. And then we didn't see Ben break out and think, oh, I think the song should be played this way, I'm just going to do this rhythm. No, they had one purpose, one unity. They worked as one. That means making an intentional agreement to take that walk of unity. That is a purpose. We're going to be intentional about it. When Chris and I got married, we did that mutual agreement that what we would do in our marriage would be for the good of both of us, for the good of the marriage. We would be one person. And that word agreed here also means that, betrothed. And we have to say to each other, I will do what it takes. In Romans 12, we read, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. When our attitudes are inconsistent with the needs of others, when we only think about the direction of our own life, we cannot say we are walking with God and one another. So when we say we are following Jesus together, that's the important consideration. We have to understand God called us to do this. It has to be so certain in our minds that no matter what, we won't leave each other behind. And it is Christ that binds us together. Not in our marriage, not Mr. Chris's niceness or patience, although he does have that, but it's Jesus Christ that we rely on, even in our marriage, most importantly in our marriage. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to fit us into place. We need to submit to God and mutually, purposefully commit to one another. And sometimes that's not so easy to do, but that's why we follow Jesus, because he shows us the way. Now, I don't know the time. I think I have a little more time. I thought about those of us who might think they are too weak or too have not much to share. And I'm going to share a Bible passage with you that on first glance maybe isn't what people think about when they think of people banding together. But there's an account of four lepers. There was a famine in the land, a terrible famine in Samaria. And you can read that story in 2 Kings, the Bible, the biblical account. And in a famine, and they were outside of the city, they weren't allowed to come into the city because they were unclean, ceremonially unclean, plus they could spread the disease. So I think in the famine, most likely, they were the people that no one cared about or thought about. I wonder if they have food. I wonder if they have any needs that need to be met. And they came, they decided amongst themselves to go into the enemy camp because they said to themselves, and I'm paraphrasing, well, they might kill us, but we're going to die anyways. But we're just going to go and see if they'll give us food. When they came to the camp, it was empty, because the Lord had caused a noise to be heard by the armies, and they all fled. So as they came into the enemy camp, they found it deserted. They ate, and they plundered, and they had their fill. And then they said to each other, finally they said to each other, this is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people. Now, God had orchestrated all his plan because Elisha had prophesied that the Lord would soon send this famine, and he used four outcasts to share the good news. It was so amazing for me to see that these men were still lepers. All their needs hadn't been met. They were lepers, but they banded together and told others the good news. So no matter whether our prayers haven't been answered, whether you think, I'm too sick to pray for anyone, God can't use me, yes, he can. We can do this together because God is with us. And then lastly, think about the little boy who shared his lunch. Well, the young boy who shared his lunch. I was thinking about him this week, and I thought the biblical account says when all their food had been gone, so apparently, being with Jesus, people didn't go without food, but they had used up all their food except this boy. And instead of being full himself, He sacrificially gave his lunch because I don't know if he thought this, but I'm imagining he thought, I can't be full and watch everyone be hungry. Maybe I'll get a crumb and I'll be hungry, but at least I'll be hungry with everyone. But when he gave Jesus his little loaves and fishes, everyone was filled. No one was left behind. So I would like us to understand that our strength is in the Lord. We commit to each other. When we say we are following Jesus together, we're thinking about the commitment we're making to one another and to Jesus. It's not just words. We're looking at each other and saying, I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you behind. You're coming with me, Kathy. You're coming with me, Chris. Ramon, Rosanna, we're in this together. Ruth at home, all of you at home, we're committing to each other. We're in this fight together because God fights for us. He's ordained victory for us, and he's using us to fight the battle. As the worship team comes up, we're going to have a moment of prayer for one another. But online, you can't come and participate in this way. But there is a button on our app where you can request prayer request. And please, would you give us your prayer request? And we will pray for you. Because this is how we fight our battles. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.